Father God, Lord, we again, Father, are just grateful, Lord God, for this day. Father, we are thankful, Lord, to be your people. Father, we're thankful, Lord God, to be called by your name. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, you came from heaven to earth, Lord, to show us the way. And Lord, we have the way in Christ Jesus, Lord. We know you, Father. We've been called by your name. And Lord, we're just grateful, Lord, this day that we have that hope in our hearts, Lord. And the Spirit testifies, Father, that we are your children, Lord God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we just pray, Lord, as we go and spend some time, Lord, just in your word. Lord, we pray, Father God, that your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth will just lead and guide every word that's spoken. Lord, we acknowledge openly, Lord God, and I acknowledge openly that there's nothing good in me, Father, but your Holy Spirit. And so to your Holy Spirit, we yield right now, and I yield right now as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is good to see everyone this day. The joys of modern technology. My dad is in the States. And I SMS'd him last night. And I said, do you have something you'd like to say to everybody at CCS, keeping in touch? And you know what he said back? He said, keep looking up because the world is going down. So that's something from your El Presidente that he says for you today? But you know, the truth of it is, I mean, actually scriptures talk to us about that, how the world and all of the kingdoms of the world will fall apart in a very dramatic fashion as the days go forward. Now, if you read the prophecy in the book of Daniel about the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the head of gold, the chest of silver, the legs of bronze, the feet of iron and clay. One thing that we see and we from that passage of scripture is that there's the rock that's cut without human hands that comes and smashes that idol. What happens is that idol is pulverized into nothing, and then it's blown away like chaff, so there's no trace of it at all, right? So that means that all of these kingdoms, be it the kingdom of gold, the one of silver, the one of bronze, all of these kingdoms that may have their head in even the Babylonian system, they come to a point where all of them are completely destroyed. And there comes a point where there is not even a trace of them left as we shift into the eternal reality of the kingdom of God, which continues to grow and fill the whole earth. So as eternity comes to bear on this reality, and as this reality yields to what is true and what is real, that which is fake and a lie will be destroyed and won't be left. Does that does a great job. Yes? Okay. All right. So now in this whole process, we're now in the middle of all of this. Now, in the middle of this, we have our humanity that we struggle with. So we get hungry, we get tired, we get sick. If you get hungry, there's nothing wrong with your faith. If you get a bit frustrated in life because of the things that happen, that's part of living in a world where light and dark are clashing constantly. But we struggle with that human side of us because the spirit that's in you, the spirit that's in you wants one thing. But as a child of light, you are weighed down by this body of flesh that you must exist in to exist in this dimension. Okay, now the world focuses on what you can see, touch, feel, all the five senses. That's what the world focuses on. And that's why for the world it gets very scared as it sees things getting older, starting to fall apart, things not working anymore. It gets very scared. Because the world invests all of itself in the material and not in the spiritual. Whereas for God's people, we know that we transition through this life, and the time that we're here is about God's purposes. Okay, here's a quick question. How many of you are, when you think of death, is it something that is scary for you? The thought of dying is something that causes you anxiety. I won't ask you to show hands because I know everybody, people want to say, oh no, I'm fine, but then really in their heart they're very nervous, they're very scared about that. But how many of you in yourself, the thought of death is something you're like, I don't know. Okay, it is a natural thing because it's something that's inbuilt into your human nature to feel like that. Because the human body and the way that it was designed, it's designed to want to live. So we have a lifeguarding program here, yes? I used to lifeguard years ago. Now when someone is drowning, If somebody starts to drown, first a swimmer will swim like this, yes? A distressed swimmer starts swimming like this. It's someone who's distressed, who's having trouble swimming. And a drowning swimmer looks like this. They're straight up and down in the water. And that person is just pushing on the sides of the water, doing everything they can just to stay up. And that reflex is so strong in the human body to want to stay alive, to want to stay above the water. That if you're a lifeguard, you are told never to approach that person from the front. Because that person will claw you, grab you, scratch you, drown you just to stay up for 30 more seconds. You'll drown and then they will drown again too. So a lifeguard is told to swim around behind them and come from the back, and then you pull them back and then you calm them down and you say, look, relax, you know I'm here to help you. And they can't grab you, they can't try to drown you. Now, because the human body is wired in such a way that it wants to live, and the more it's put in a desperate situation, it does everything it can to try to live. But there is a work of the Spirit that takes place in God's people which enables them to change the way they relate to death. There's a work that happens in the spirit, with the Spirit of God inside this people. And it changes the way that we relate to death. So it's a very natural thing to feel that. But two, it's something that God makes a change in His people. So when we look through books like Fox's Book of Martyrs or stories of people that have died for the gospel, we see stories of people that responded and reacted a different way to death than normal people usually do in this world. But we know they didn't start like that. That's why I think it's so beautiful that we have the stories of the 12 apostles, because we see their transition. We see the transition from starting as those 12 that would run away in the middle of the night and leave Jesus all alone, to later in the book of Acts standing up boldly shoulder to shoulder with in front of the very people that crucified Jesus and proclaiming the gospel.
Yes.
And we know, as we have historical records of how they all died, that they all went bravely into their death, each and every one of them, many of them being crucified just like Jesus. So nine of them were crucified. Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord Jesus, so I want to be crucified upside down. He requested a more painful way to die. Thomas was speared through, doubting Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas? He was speared through by pagan priests not too far from here. You go up to Madras in India, he made it all the way there.
Thomas.
They took spears, the priests there took spears and stuck him. And so for him, he traveled all the way to the southern part of India just to get stuck with spears. We know what happened to James in the book of Acts. We know that John, they tried to boil John in oil. But then he miraculously came out of that experience, and then they banished him to the Isle of Patmos, where he ended up having the revelation, which is that last book in the Bible that you get to read. Revelation, yeah. So, now this was the disciple that Jesus loved. When they talk, when scriptures talk about, this is the disciple Jesus loved. Isn't it a bit, does it seem a bit strange that when God splits the sky and says, this is my son in whom I love, and in him I'm well pleased, speaking of Jesus, and Jesus gets crucified, John's the beloved disciple, he gets boiled in oil and then put on an island to die. And yet, you see the transition and the change even in John's life as he went through his own progression in walking with Christ. Early on, John, James and John were the sons of thunder. You remember that? Jesus called them the sons of thunder because they wanted to call down fire from heaven and destroy people that didn't accept Jesus. But later on, when you see 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see a change in this person as he has walked with Christ. Now he's a lover. He loves people. And there's a heart of love that comes out of him, and though he suffered so much, he still, that love of God that's been manifest in him has changed him as well.
Okay.
So what is the change that takes place from the beginning of this walk with Christ towards the transition of what we call death in this world? What's this change that takes place in people? Okay, go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but to every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
ප්‍රේමයේ යම් සැලසිල්ලක් ඇතනම් ආත්මයන් වහන්සේගේ යම් හඳුකාරකමක් ඇතනම් යම් ආදරයක් සහ දයාදරකමක් ඇතනම් නුඹලා එක ප්‍රේමයේ ඇතුළ එකම සිට එක කාර්යයම අභිප්‍රාය කරගෙන එක් සිත් සිදීමෙන් මාගේ ප්‍රීතිය සම්පූර්ණ කරගන්න. පක්ෂපාතී කමෙන්වත් නිෂ්කල කාරකමෙන්වත් කිසි දෙයක් නොකොට එකිනෙකා තම තමාට වඩා වෙන කෙනෙක් උතුම්යයි යටහත් කමින් සිතාවා. නුඹලා එකෙක් දිනා තම තමාගේ කාරණා අනුව අනුන්ගේ කාරණා බලන්න. උන්වහන්සේ තුළ තිබුණු කිසිම නුඹලා තුළක් තිබේවා. උන්වහන්සේ දෙවියන් වහන්සේ රූපකාරයේ දරුස්සේ දෙවියන් වහන්සේ සමානව සිටීම තමන් විසින් අල්ලාගෙන සිටිය යුතු වස්තුවකයි නොසිතා එය ඉවත් කර දාසයෙකුගේ ස්වභාවයගෙන මනුෂ්‍යයන්ගේ සමානත්වයට පැමිණි සේක. මනුෂ්‍යාකාරයෙන් සිටිය කලත් මරණය කුසේ මරණය දක්වා කීකරු කුසේ බැරි දෙවියන් වහන්සේ උන්වහන්සේ ඉතා උසස් කොට සියලු නාමවලට වඩා උසස් නාමය උන්වහන්සේට දුන්සේක. එසේ කළේ ස්වර්ගයේද පොළවේද පොළව යටද සියල්ලන් යේසුස් යන නාමයෙන් දරණමන පිණිස යේසුස් ක්‍රිස්තුස් වහන්සේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ බව කියමු දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ ගෞරවය සඳහා සියලු දිවණින් හේතුවන් පිණිසත්ව.
Amen. Isn't it amazing how different Jesus is to the world system that we're surrounded by? I find verse 7 particularly fascinating, where it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I find it fascinating that he, being God, chose to become a man. And I contrast that to a time where men are trying so hard to be God. You're very, very different, isn't it? So God, being God, decided to take on human flesh to help us out.
Devi Mahanse,
And man in his ignorance and his arrogance would seek to lord over other men and try to become God themselves. But Jesus didn't just take on the form and the likeness of man. He, after he came, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Okay, so see the progression. Here it is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Here is God. Just that alone should explode your mind. But here is God. And the creator of everything, the creator of all the galaxies and the universes, and I mean there's so much that we know that we don't know about what's out there and what's been discovered. And infinite bigness, all of these stars, galaxies. One galaxy, hundreds of thousands of stars in there, and there's billions of galaxies. Our sun, the sun that we have that keeps our planet warm, is just one star. There's in the galaxies, there's hundreds of thousands of stars. Millions, hundreds of millions. I don't know if you say hundreds of millions of stars. There's so much. I can't keep up when I listen to these people talk about the universes, yes? And then you get down to here's us with all these little cells and little things happening, and we talked last week about just the functions going on even in your own body. And amoebas and bacteria and all these little things that God has made. So now God, having done all of this, decides to go out, to come out of eternity and to come into creation, into time, and he's here in this world walking on this earth. And we know the story. He didn't come with a big show, didn't come into the nicest house that was the biggest palace, King of Kings. No, he comes to Mary and Joseph, not the best of conditions, no? Yes, the angels, they have a big celebration because they know this is a monumental event, but most of the people in the world didn't quite figure out what was going on. Some wise men started a journey, showed up a couple of years later. But God, He put Himself in a position here in this life and in this world. And at a time where even back then, the nature and the heart of man was to exalt himself. It says here in Scripture in verse 8 that he, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, it's humbling enough to take on limitation, being an unlimited God. But now, he doesn't just take on limitation, he humbles himself in the life that he would now live for 30 years. And then as he would begin his earthly ministry, his ministry was not one of, here, exalt me, lift me up, make me everything. No, his ministry was one of every day taking a step towards the cross. Verse 8 says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the God that made everything puts on flesh, comes here as the son of a carpenter. And a teenage pregnancy. And then he goes, lives out life here. And makes himself obedient in service to humanity, but then also obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The scriptures tell us in Isaiah that it was God's will to crush his own son. And so when Jesus was praying and he was teaching people to pray, Lord, not my will but yours be done, he was praying for the fulfillment of God's will. Which incidentally was to crush himself. When we ask for the will of God, are we willing for that to be God's will for your life? If God's purposes are fulfilled in your life being crushed, in you going to a similar finish and conclusion, would you choose that? Okay, back to our lifeguarding example. In your flesh, absolutely not. Because your carnal flesh wants to live. But there is a work of the Spirit of God that takes place in His people that allows His people to do what they would never do otherwise. Namo And that work of the Spirit of God is something that you and I should desire and want more than the breath that's in your lungs. Because you know, as long as you're held captive to the fear of death, you remain a prisoner in this life. As long as you are afraid of what ending this life ending means, as long as you're afraid of that, it now holds you and keeps you back. But when people are no longer bound by fear, they are capable of doing amazing things. This is why also scripture talks about perfect love driving out all fear. As you continue to walk with God, the love of God begins to also drive out and move things out of you. How many of you remember that it was some time back, but we had a pot here and it was full of water? But first we had it upside down. Remember? And nothing could go into it when it was facing the wrong direction. Do you remember that? And then when we faced it the right direction, as it was being filled and it filled to overflowing, as the love of God pours into a person's life, it pushes and fills and pushes everything else out. And when a person doesn't hold any area of their life in reserve, what happens is the love of God is allowed to push through every area of their life. Including that fear of death. Now, the people that we highlighted just as examples of the 12 apostles, God allowed them to go through one a set of experiences and two, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. An encounter with the Holy Spirit. That burned out of them that fear that bound them before and limited them before. And that ragtag bunch of men turned the world upside down. And we know the rest of the story there. And likewise, when God sets you free, you're able to now go on that journey with Him. Now, there is a reason that Mark chapter 8 says that unless a man takes up his cross and follows me, he's not worthy to be my disciple. You cannot finish the journey unless you started out with the intention to follow Jesus all the way to the end. Yes, And it is a debt. It is a debt to yourself each and every day. And but ultimately, you know that thing about take up your cross and follow me, it's been distorted too. Because really just what it means is, okay Lord, your way, not mine, every day. And whatever that means is whatever it means. And Jesus, he, now when it was lived out in his own life, yes, it took him to the cross. Those that follow him have a willingness to go that route. But you know, it doesn't stop there. And that's the glorious thing about the saints of God, is it doesn't stop in death. In fact, with Christ Jesus, for those that follow him, he took the sting of death in himself. So when you are hid in Christ Jesus, death itself has no sting for you. If you're outside of Christ, oh, it'll sting. But for those that are hid in him, he already took that blow for us. And we get to live in the resurrection life even this day. If you die to self today, you get to live in the resurrection today. You get to live in eternal purpose this day. You know, too many people continue to wait and wait and wait for life to hopefully begin someday. How many people are just waiting and waiting, and then finally they're like, okay, well, hopefully I'll die and go to heaven and then it'll be okay, then life will start. No. Jesus, today is the day of salvation. And when someone crosses from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God, as it talks about in Acts 26, you step into a process that Christ puts you into. And this day you go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. This day you transition into God's plan and purpose for you right now. He is I am. And that thing about your carnal nature, what happens as he increases, that decreases. And you can come to a place as you walk with him where you become that reflection of him. People see you, they see him.
Manusia,
And as they see Him, they also see the life that's in Him that is free from the fear of death. That is free from the bondage that this world is trapped in. It's all part of the journey that God has for His people. And it's a beautiful thing to be part of God's free people walking with Him. And time goes fast, so I have to stop because my time is up.
I share my breath with the air tonight. So clear, I can't ignore it. No fear, I'm ready for it. I ain't scared of death, I'm scared of life. I share my breath with the air tonight. So clear, I can't ignore it. No fear, I'm ready for it. I ain't scared of death, I'm scared of life. I share my breath with the air tonight. So clear, I can't ignore it. No fear, I'm ready for it. I ain't scared of death, I'm scared of life. I share my breath with the air tonight. So clear, I can't ignore it. No fear, I'm ready for it.